Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I want to welcome all those that are visiting. Met a couple of you. And James, nice to have you with us. And we have Billy and Kim, a real honor. We call them the bishop. They're the pastors of, they're the grandparents now, grandpastors of PC3. He is, and Kim have been instrumental in gathering us as pastors in this area and getting us to fellowship once a month and have meals together, lunches together and stuff. And it's just a real honor. My heart just jumped a beat when I saw you guys walk in today. And it's just really great that you could come and join us beachside today. And really great. And thank you for joining us. Obviously, Val and I were away and in Missoula, Montana. And that was because of relationship. You know, the relationship is so important. And then the pastor of the church that's been pioneering the work of God there in Missoula for 14 years, Jason, is in the house. He's with us. We did about our house swap. They were in our home. We were up in their home. I first met Jason in 2019 when our flights came in late. We were staying in his house. And I came out the bedroom and I met him around the Kerrog coffee machine and said, "Hi, my name's Rod. Who are you?" I'm Jason, the owner of the house and the pastor of the church. And so that's how we kind of met around the Kerrog coffee machine early in the morning. But it's a real honor to have you in the house today, Jason. And Shannon had to go back and work. Somebody has to work and earn the money, you know. But no, Jason is on a well-needed sabbatical. And Val and I had a great, great time with the church there. They started a new series called Fire, the Fire series. And so my message was, are you fireproof? And obviously I spoke about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then this incredible ladies that head up teams there, that's just amazing. So I thought I'd let Val loose on them. So Val preached the second Sunday. I was ready to preach, but I kind of just felt and so I let Val loose. And so she got up in this long dress and earrings and curly hair and everything else. And those Montana girls are T-shirt, jeans, boots. And they were looking at Val and said, "Where did you come from?" So Val says, next time she'll go in her boots. I don't know where she's going to find those boots, all those jeans, all that T-shirt. But we had got a beautiful place and we had a great time. And I just want to thank you as a congregation for allowing Val and I to go there. We went as an extension of Coastal as a family and we just really had a wonderful time. Had a couple of meetings and meals with everybody. And truly, Jason, honor you for your hard work and what you're doing there. Thanks, sir. Appreciate you. Yeah. And say yay for us. And obviously, we have an addition that I mentioned and at our anniversary in March and said, "Listen, guys, we need to pay off the mortgage. We pay off the mortgage, we can employ a couple because Rod and Val are not getting any younger." And I'm not getting any younger. Valerie is obviously getting very young. So obviously. And so Freddie and Denise arrived this week, and so we're just kind of letting them acclimatize and get their feet on the ground. But come on up here. And I thought we'd just not confuse everybody with a different accent or anything else. So we just thought we'd just keep the South African accent. And so they're from South Africa.
Hello.
So I just wanted to let them introduce themselves. Denise and Freddie, and Jonathan and General, John and their little guy.
Hello, I'm Denise. What was I supposed to say? I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just such an honor that God opened up this door. Just the story, I'm sure we'll get to spend time with all of you and just how God opens doors. He's such a faithful Father and He looks after all the details in our lives. And yeah, so it's just been encouraging. My faith has been deepened through this whole process and it just feels so good. It felt like when we came into Florida, we saw that sign. My son was like, "Florida, we're home!" And that's how we felt in our hearts. It just felt like we've come home, and it was great. So thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes. Sorry, my voice is way down low in the register. I'm just struggling with them. Yeah, we're all good. But yeah, just I really wanted to honor you guys, and I wanted to honor Rod and Val. Amazing couple. it really is an honor for us to walk alongside them and to be poured into by them and to be part of this beautiful family. And we're just thankful for the journey that God's got us on. We are super excited for what's to come, for what God has in store for this house, this family. And yeah, we're just honored to be here. We've made the long haul from Chicago. We got introduced to your crazy rain coming into Florida. I've never seen rain that hard where you can't even see the road. And yet trucks and cars are flying past. I'm like, is this safe? Is this fine? And then I was telling Rod, the other funny thing is that you pass through this crazy rain and then the road's dry. It's like a line, like a curtain. Never seen anything like that, but it was great. Yeah. Luckily, Illinois has been a bit warmer than Florida, I think, so we've been adjusting to the heat on that side, but it's been great. And so we're really thankful for God and the journey that He's got us on, and we are super honored to be with you guys and to call you home and to call you family. So yeah. Love you and excited to journey with you guys, and thank you.
You know that some good things come out of Chicago. Jason and Shannon got a worship leader, pastor from Chicago, and so did we. So we want to be just like you.
We're depleting them of all their worship leaders up there. Yeah. So I'd just like you to stretch your hands and just allow us to set them into family here and allow them just to kind of nestle in and find their place and find their gifting and allow us to journey and build kingdom. So, Father, thank you for Denise and Father, for Freddie. We just really thank you that today we recognize it as a time when you have bought them and you've planted them here. And so, Father, we thank you for the ground that you're placing them in, that, Father, that their hearts and their eyes are towards you and kingdom. And so they come and pick up the yoke with us as a family to build kingdom, advance kingdom. And, Father, we bring them in, we announce them in, and we release their giftings to us as a family and to this community. And so we really place them in. And then we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Do you know it's taken 17 years? We have been asking and trusting God for this for 17 years.
Sorry.
This guy's been badgering them. He says, when are you coming? When are you coming? When are you coming? So a few stars had to line up to get them all here. So one was to pay off a mortgage. That's quite a big star to line up with the events. But just great to have them as... They're going to be involved in our worship, but they're going to be involved in our media and all that. Jason and Sarah, Dad, good? Man, we've had, it's a war zone in every direction. So, but I'm looking forward to ministering the word. I'm really asking God that your hearts be open and be ready for the word so that we may leave here encouraged, knowing that when we go out there, that we truly are the carriers of good news, carriers of hope, carriers of God's encouragement, and that we have the answers and we have the solution, and so really want to do that. A couple of announcements. Obviously, Financial Peace University is kicking off on the 14th September. It's a $129 deal, so if you can't do that, we can sort out sponsorship. Connect online or connect with our Connect Corner. Get your names down, so that'll be great if we can just load up that course. So obviously, it's open to the surrounds, so people will know all about it. So that's how we got James and Sabrina. They came in looking for financial guidance in the university, and then we hooked them, reeled them in, and so they stuck with us now, pegged their nailed their feet to the ground. They can't go anywhere. We love them. But anyway, praise the Lord. The message and the theme that we've been driving home this year is to be fearless and faithful. 2020 was just completely opposite. We were fearful and faithless, and everything went awry. And so we've been regathering ourselves, regrouping ourselves, refocusing ourselves and saying, okay, storm hit planet Earth. And so we need to recalibrate ourselves. And the scripture, I don't know if you can pull us to the, there's a scripture I put up there, the 2 Timothy 1:7. It says that, God has not given us a spirit of fear, hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we understand that, man, the biggest battleground we're going to have is in our head. And so it's God, our ear, the two gates, our eye gate and our ear gate, because those things will definitely allow stuff in that will challenge that security, that heart of love, and power in the sound mind. It will challenge it. So, are we battle ready? I want us to be battle ready. I don't want us to be caught in a place where we're not battle ready. And because as a military instructor, I had to take guys and train them in 18 weeks. And in 18 weeks, 20 weeks, I had to take them from a schoolboy, 18 years old, and then train them so that they could fight and survive. So I don't know if Jesus is calling us here or something. Does he have a message? Hallelujah. And so my senior instructor said, do you know the measurement of whether you're a good instructor or a bad instructor? I said, no, please enlighten me. He says, how many of your guys survive? That's the measurement. That's the yardstick. And so I feel that as a responsibility as a shepherd to feed you from the pulpits or find groupings and situations where I can get information, or we as gifted people in the body of Christ can get you equipped so that you do not fail in the front lines. Because Daniel 11:32 talks about the people that know their God will be strong and resist him, as one translation, will do great works. Him, in that translation, is Satan, Lucifer, and the devil. And those who know their God will be able to resist him. And that's important. And obviously in the Western world, we kind of poo-poo the spirit realm. I just want you to know the spirit realm is more real than what we have in our visual sight here. That's the unseen world that we need to be aware of. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 talks about, but we're against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. They are doing everything they can, throwing everything and the kitchen sink at us from every avenue, from the social media to every kind of film that's been put out there, everything to get us, to stop us, to set us back. And we need to be very, very vigilant, because there's three things you need to know. You need to know your God, you need to know your enemy, and you need to know how to fight your enemy. Three things you need to know. And it's important that you do that. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. You know who him is, making you aware of who him is. Steadfast in the faith. Important that you do that. Barry kind of thought it was quite nice, my message and my theme, to be around the chessboard today. So it's kind of anyway, so we'll see if that theme works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I like the whole thing. So the weapon of our choice that I've been speaking about as a series, it's been, our weapon of choice has been prayer. And obviously when you go through the spiritual armor in Ephesians 6, you talk about the helmet, the sword, the breastplate, the feet, the belt, and all those things. And then obviously we always kind of miss out, but praying all prayers and supplications is also a part of the weaponry that we have. And so the one weapon we're taking today is prayer, because James 5:6 says, an effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So church, if you do not have a war room or a war room space or a place, I do encourage you to find that, because obviously this whole series on Jesus Teach Us to Pray has a place where you have to get to, where you get focused with God, focused with Jesus, and go into battle. You have to. Otherwise, and then you say, well, I've got children and I've got to get to school and all that stuff. Well, let me just tell you about Amy Simple McPherson, who was a fiery general of God in the early 1900s. She had 10 children. She trained them in such a way that after she had fed them, got them ready in the morning, she'd sit in the kitchen table and throw her apron over her head. That became her war room. God have mercy on any of the 10 children that would disturb her while she was doing that. Be warned. Roberts Leiden, grandma used to grab him and his sister, peg their trousers leg to her knee, under her knees in her room, and pray until the glory cloud came into the room. That's how he learned the things of God, because they intentionally went to that place. And you could sense God moving in, because he knew his God, because his grandma grabbed him and pulled him in there. So the series Jesus Teach Us How to Pray, obviously it comes from Luke 11 and obviously Matthew 6. And obviously in Luke 11, Jesus had just come out to pray. The Son of God, the one who raises the dead, opens the eyes of the blind, feeds the 5,000. He finds time to go to the war room and pray, sends time with the Father, because he comes out and he says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it, and I don't say anything unless I see my Father say it. And that's why, because he found that in the war room, because his Father would instruct him. He would go there and spend nights in prayer, come out, and then select his disciples who became the apostles. Real serious, intentional things that happened. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side intentionally. Why? Because there's a demoniac. Gets there, delivers the demoniac, and gets in the boat and comes back again. Intentionally doing things because they found it in the war room. So it's important that you see that. I'm not in my notes, but here we go. Matthew 6 is the other account in the scriptures about the Lord's Prayer. So the one thing I want us to do, as we did, and maybe you haven't done it since I did it last time with you, is to say the prayer out loud. Would you say it after me? We get this clear now. After me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In summary, for those that are obviously just catching up and haven't been part of this series, quick summary. The summary is that the whole prayer is announced in plural. It's our Father in heaven, give us this day as we forgive. So it's done in plural. So when we go into prayer, it's not about me, myself, and I. When we go inside there, we go into prayer, we're praying for thy kingdom come. And it's about our people that need to come to Christ. And it's our people that need to be healed. And it's our pre-saved people that need to have their eyes open. We are talking about bringing the kingdom. And it's us. We are talking about more than just me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And it's a personal God. It's not a tapuri tapuri, some God out there. No, it's our Father. It's personal. And so it's a personal prayer. It talks about two places. It talks about heaven. And talks about earth as being heaven, being earth as it is in heaven. And so there's places, there's praise. Hallowed be your name. We've spoken about hallowed, praising God's name. It's Sammy starts in the beginning with praise. It ends with praise. And in between is petition. There's a list of petitions. The first petition was his presence. Your kingdom come. When his kingdom comes, it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes with his presence. When his presence comes, you know his kingdom is here. There's things that happen when his presence comes. So his presence comes, and then provision, give us this day, and we unpack that. And then obviously pardoning, forgive us. Because if you switch the lights off, I can guarantee none of you glow here in the dark. And so we always need to come because we know that we've messed up and we need to ask God to pardon us and forgive us. And so it's important that we understand. So today I'm going to talk about petitioning to be protected by prayer. And it's the verse 13, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why would we ask a God that I've pushed from the pulpit, that he's loving, he's caring, and he's wonderful, that he would not lead us into temptation? It's just kind of his character and his nature. And I was looking at this week, but can I propose the line be read this way? Lord, redirect us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. If you understand that when it's written like this, and I'm not an English dude, I've never passed an English exam in my life, and I've worked at it a lot, but I unpacked it like, and I said, Holy Spirit, this kind of doesn't make sense. Lead us not into temptation. And he says, no, Rod, I would like to redirect you away from temptation. And I said, okay, Dad, I can write that down, and I can tell the people that. That'd be wonderful. So I'm telling you, he says, if you pray, I will redirect you away from temptation and deliver you from evil. So I want to just kind of throw you four thoughts before we shut down, have some coffee, and maybe beat the Methodists and the other guys to the restaurant. But let's do this, yeah, okay? So the first thing is God can't tempt us. God can't tempt us. It's just not part of his nature. It's not part of his character. You got to remember that he's an immutable God. He doesn't change. He's the best. He can't get any better, okay? He's top of the pile. And one thing he just has to do is love us. And that's a wonderful thing. And if he loves us, why would he tempt us? Why would he do that? As a parent, I know with my earthly thinking, which is futile, I don't do that to my kids. Why would the king and why would God do that? So it's clearly God's the best, and God can't tempt us, but he does say through James that he'll bless those that avoid temptation. Let me read the scripture in James 1:12. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptations. And afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So there he has said, listen, there are these tests and there's trials and there's temptations, but if you endure them and you overpower, he says, I'll give you life, crown of life. I will, and there is a benefit than going down all these trails where the enemy would want to tempt us and take us. So trusting God will give us life, and he doesn't waste anything. Every time we go into these situations, he wastes nothing. All things work together for the good. And so it goes on in 1:13, James 1:13, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong and never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires which entices us and drags us away. So that Satan is looking for those things that we are desiring and uses them and entices us into temptation with those very things. And it's so important that you look at that. So it's not God doesn't tempt. Satan is the tempter, the accuser, and the deceiver. And the door Satan uses to bring temptation is our desire. And so we need to understand that our desire. Note, it's not necessarily a wrong desire. Not necessarily a wrong desire. Not everything that is good is right. Can I say that again? Not everything that is good is right. I mean, it is good to have this German car that can, maybe I should go to more American, a Tesla car that says, think American, Rod. Tesla car that has airbags and all the other benefits and everything else, but you can't afford it. It's good, but it's not right because you're going to sink the Bismarck financially because you can't afford it. Or that person is, can we tell Natalie, understand, there are a lot of good people out there, but they may not be the right people. So she's got to choose right when she wants to marry. So we've got to work on that in our prayer life. And so it's important. So not everything that is good is right. But there'll be things that will draw you away, draw your attention away, draw you aside, draw your focus away. And that's when the enemy will take you and grab you. And it's those things that we're saying, God, redirect me, awaken me, open my eyes so I can see these things. And that's why we get in the war room, and so we can do that. And so when we're going through this, God will be working on our character in this whole thing. Because the Father doesn't want to take us where our character can't keep us. You mustn't go where your character can't keep you. And sometimes we want to go certain places and our character hasn't been tempered and hasn't been established and worked through. I know if I came from Zimbabwe to here without going to South Africa for 17 years and worked with Mark and Dee as pastors, I would have not been tempered and grown and able to take the headwind that the spiritual things that happen when you want to plant a church will happen. Jonathan, journey all the way through all his doings, he and Debbie have tempered them to a place where he can stand, and he and I are fighting to make sure the school gets established here. It's those things that you understand that will save you in the battle, is that you are tempered to be able to do that. And God tempers you in this journey. And so we need to understand that. God answers our prayers three ways. Yes, no, not yet. That's how he answers it. Because sometimes, not yet, Rod, not yet. Because it'll mess you up. It'll sink you. And so Jesus was also the tempter's target in Matthew 4:3. Now, when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." You understand that he said, "If you're the Son of God." The boy had just come out of the water, been baptized, and heard his dad say, "You are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." I would have come back at Satan and said, "What do you mean, if I'm the Son of God? I'm the beloved Son of God. Get your facts right, devil. Get your facts right." So, and then Paul was also knowing. He knows the enemy. And so in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he understands that the enemy is sly, he's deceitful, and he stirs up doubt and unbelief. He's always looking to stir up doubt and unbelief. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, it says here, "That is why, when I could bear it no longer." You understand that Paul, when he starts hearing information about the churches he's planted all around, that this is happening and that's happening, he obviously has to silence it, and he says, "I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless." We've got to be on our guard all the time. That's why I said we need to be battle ready, because I tell you what, the enemy is looking for any opportunity to get you. Many times Satan uses our good intentions and lures us away. Our good intentions. And we've got to understand that through prayer, that speaking to God, plus the one another's, which many are avoiding now because they have this excuse that we don't have to go and fellowship now. We can just fellowship with the TV and the live streaming. I'm not getting at you at live stream, but I thank you that you're joining us. But I want to just tell you, it doesn't substitute what we have in meeting together. It's so important that you get together. Why? Because it keeps you on the straight and narrow. Because the enemy is looking anyway. Sitting there and he's nyanyas you in the morning and you haven't got to fellowship. And when you come here, the giftings in the body of Christ say, "Listen, I believe that you need to stop thinking like this." And you think, how does he know? Because the prophetic had just got worked through that guy and he spoke to you. Because I need that. I need to come to the body of Christ today. And when I heard my brother-in-law's passing this morning, and we've been praying earnestly all, and I had to talk to my family and hear them sob and cry, and I was crying with them. I said, I need to go to church today because I need to get encouraged. I need to get cheered on by the body of Christ. It's important because the one another's will keep you on the straight and narrow. Why? Because we all have blind spots, church. We all have blind spots. Even our natural blind spot, if you move your finger to a certain point where the nerve comes onto the eyeball, you can't see. We need the one another's for the blind spots. And that's why we need to hang out there, because otherwise the enemy will take us and get us. Because sometimes we get so involved with the need that we, you know, we're doing the Lord's work, but we forget the Lord of the work. And so you can get so good at all that. Even our families, you know, you get so much involved in helping my family. It's my family first, my family this, my family that, but you forget the main thing that keeps the main thing. That's the fellowship and the body of Christ and God being the center of it that keeps you settled. Because if you don't keep that settled, your family is going to fall apart. It's important that you keep the main thing in our lives. And the enemy is saying, well, your family is first. God's given you your family. Yes, he has. But he was also giving you the church to keep you strong so you can be a good father and a good mother to your children. That's what God does. There's a balance in all these areas that we need to work in. And so I just tell you, you get yourself so far out there that guy's sister Wiggle Hips comes along and your eyes go a-wandering. And there's no one another than saying, hey, what are you looking at? What are you thinking? You're stinking thinking. Yeah. And so, you know, and then we've had, Val and I have had counseling situations where the wife suddenly starts throwing her toys out and accusing her husband of all these things. And we're saying, where on earth are you getting all this? Oh, well, and you eventually find out that she'd been watching a soap opera, and the soap opera's husband was starting to play, not coming back and saying they're working and everything else. Meantime, he was on the other side of the fence. And this starts playing on their mind because their desires have opened up a door where the tempter can hook you and pull you, and suddenly you start imagining all this junk. And now we've got to counsel this marriage situation and saying, boy, get away from the TV. Talking a lot of rubbish. Hallelujah. So the balance of life is God, family, fellowship, work, and rest. Get it in the right balance. So important. And let me just tell you, sin is no counterfeit for joy. Because everybody likes sin, but sin is no counterfeit for joy. Joy is a deep-seated, eternal understanding of God that keeps you. It's not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is a deep thing that God does in your life, and you can be in a concentration camp and still have joy. Why? Because God is for us and not against us. So it's important that you understand that. The other thought I want to throw at you is God won't mislead us. And don't lead us to temptation. Give us the wrong direction. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. That gives us a confident expectation to get up in the morning and run with it. James 1:2 says, brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I want to ask Jesus why he had to have that in the Bible, because sometimes you just don't want to count it all joy. But in this whole thing, I want you to understand God is not going to bubble wrap us. Come to Jesus and he'll bubble wrap you, and you're not going to get hurt for the rest of your life. Wake up and smell the roses, because it ain't going to happen. There's not bubble wrap for that. It doesn't work. But he will make sure that we'll be able to get through it. We'll be tempered in the trials. We'll be tempered. And that's what God wants us. And so the test, the word trial and temptation are kind of come out to the same meaning in if you come to understand it. Trial and temptation and exposes us, our faith and our character. Because the true flavor of the tea bag comes out in the hot water, guys. When it's really tough and it's really pressed on us, then we kind of see what comes out there. And guys, if you think pride, pennies, and petticoats are not going to get you, be warned. Girls, gold, glory, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, got Eve. Tried with Jesus in the wilderness, same thing. The day you guys say pride, pennies, and petticoats are not going to get you, be warned. The stick of the enemy is going to come out, and he will. You got to ask God, say, God, help me. Guys, listen to me. Pride, pennies, petticoats. Girls, gold, glory. Don't think that you're immune to it. I stand here not immune to it. By God's grace, I pray this prayer. Lead me not into temptation. Redirect me, Lord, and deliver me from the evil one. It's so important that you understand that we do not glow in the dark. And we live in and we have clay feet. So we pray protection and leading and guidance. And so here we see Jesus was led, Matthew 4:1, up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Saying, gee, Holy Spirit, that's a bit tough. But originally, the Holy Spirit led him in there, and he fasted, and he was having communion with God. And when he was hungry, that's when the enemy will take advantage of you and then come in. But the whole thing was to develop. You know, faith isn't faith until it's tested. So, oh, I can believe God for this and I can believe God for that. Yeah, okay, until you have to. Let's just start believing God for your socks and shoes, okay? Just start there. That's where we need to start. And so we've got to understand that the Spirit of God, the Spirit led Jesus in there. And Satan waited for the opportune time. So important that you understand that, because God doesn't want you to fail all four in the front line. And he will bring things to temper us and strengthen us. It's a loving thing that I did, that he did. It's a loving thing I did as a military person, because obviously you want the guys to live. And I would, and if Charles, if you're watching in Perth, we pushed our guys when we trained the military, in the military. We had 40 guys. I had 20 weeks to take them as school kids and make them soldiers. And they had got to live because they dropped them into the front lines. And so we would push them. I would run them days. I would keep their food away from them. I'd keep their water away from them. And they would be muttering and complaining, corporal this and corporal that. And they would be muttering. And I would just keep pushing them. And the moment they got totally silent, I knew I was on the edge. And I said, okay, guys, sit down. I want to talk to you now. I said, this is a new benchmark. When you think you have been pushed for one day and you're tired, don't, because I've just pushed you five. So you got a new benchmark. When I've wanted to quit this ministry multiple times, I stop and I think, is this the hardest thing I've gone through ministry? I looked and I said, no, hey, I've been a lot worse than this. And I pick myself on the bootstraps, pick myself up, and I get a call from Billy and saying, Rod, keep going. And we keep going. But I'm telling you, church, you get tempered in these things, but it's good because a loving Father does this. I wasn't going to share, and let me just bounce this on you. Luke 4:14, after he was came out the Spirit, what does it say there? Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I want to just tell you, every time you have a victory on this temptation, every time you have a victory on the trial, it just cements the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God stronger and stronger in you. And it's so important that you do that. And we have a Jesus that can relate to us and lead us through. When you get into the prayer closet, into the war room, you can ask God and say, Jesus, I've got an issue. Help me with Sister Wiggle Hips. I've got to deal with this issue. And you can be real with him because he says, it says here in Hebrews, for Hebrews 2:18, for in Jesus himself has suffered, being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Because we have a heart-to-heart with Jesus, he says, listen, I walk planet Earth, I know. And when you come to him and you say, I've messed up, he says, I understand because I've walked and I've seen how somebody could mess up. Goes on to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as he was, as we are, yet without sin. So we understand that we have a God that's not requiring more of us than his son went through. And so you're thinking, God, this is not fair. Stop and check his son out, and his son will encourage you and say, listen, this is how I dealt with it. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And so it's required that we do that. Rod, you better move on in a hurry. Hallelujah. So we need to talk to Jesus and that he can do that. I just want to relate the story. Val and I were married 8 years. And a button was pushed in our relationship and it nearly just brought our deck of cards down. I mean, we had help from our family and our brother-in-law and sister who are pastors and they helped us through this thing. And when I got through it, it was a huge insecurity in my life. Huge thing. That really was the button that was pushed. But it caused this relationship to be a challenge. And so when we came through it and I said, gee, the Satan gave me a real punch there. And God said, no, that was me. I said, whoa, Dad, you're supposed to be this loving dad. How'd you do that? He said, Rod, listen, I knew that this issue of your insecurity was there when you first got married, but you didn't have the glue in your relationship to actually hold it and pull it through. He says, so 8 years down the line, I knew it was time for me to push that button, bring it to the surface. It was a marriage counseling place, a marriage seminar I went to. You're supposed to come out there encouraged and blessed and built up. I came out there with my wheels off. I had flat tires and I was down and discouraged and I thought, what? And God said, I knew that was the time to push the button because I knew you had the glue to hold it and pull it together. Because if I didn't touch it, Rod, the enemy knows that it's there. And wait until you're pastoring at Flagler Beach in America, and then he'll push the button and the whole deck of cards come down. And he says, and then what would happen to my kingdom? It'll hurt my kingdom. He says, I know exactly when to push the button. So there's certain things that he'll bring to your life. Like sometimes you go to these marriage things and they want you to unpack everything and bring out the dirty washing. No, don't do that. Just go at the pace that the Holy Spirit will allow you to unpack it because you need to be able to replace it with truth and strength and encouragement so that you can do that. Hurry up, Rod. You ain't going to finish these points here. Point three, God will deliver us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overcome you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But the temptation will also be made. But with this temptation, there will also be a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Jesus wants you to know that he will always give you a way of escape. When you come into that place, that boma, that thing that the enemy has got you and funneled you into that place, he will give you a way of escape. I can tell you, he has done it time and time again. You're going to have this decision or make this call or go and make this transfer and a phone call comes and suddenly you can't get there. And suddenly God just has diverted you from a crisis in your life. And he does that because he won't allow you into that place where you can't handle it, and he'll give you a way of escape. And our daily prayers will give you heads up on these things. Our daily time together when we say, lead us not into temptation, or redirect us and deliver us from evil. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:17, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It's just a saying of the day. It says, saved by the bell. I was saved by the bell. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Church, he wants us to succeed. He wants us to win in the front lines. 2 Peter 2:9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But if you are living a life where you're just kind of flirting with God, or just have this trivial relationship with God, guess what? You won't have that ear to hear what His Spirit is saying. Because when you get in your war room, you'll be able to journal it and say, God, I really sense you saying this. I mustn't take this deal. I mustn't make this job adjustment. Or I mustn't employ that person. He'll give you ears to hear. But if you are just having this kind of, okay, I'll do a Sunday relationship with Jesus kind of deal, it ain't going to cut against the enemy, who is, man, been around a while, and he is as sly as anything. So we need to be able to be sharp and on our A game. And he wants to deliver us. He wants us to escape. But it takes prayer. Fourth point is, if we will pray, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray, protection, direction, and deliverance every day. Preventative maintenance is best, guys. You take off on your day and you land in the ditch. Now you've got to pray yourself out of the ditch. If you went to prayer first, God says, hey, there's a ditch. Avoid the ditch. There's preventative maintenance when you get up in the morning or get to pray before the day or before the events. It's so important that you do preventative prayer. And so if you don't, the ditch is going to get you, or the temptation is going to get you, or the trial is going to get you and say, God, where are you? Why are you? He says, hey, I've been trying to talk to you, but you're so busy on your device. Your device is more important the first thing in the morning than saying hi to me. So come on. If you want to have a victorious life, come on, him first. And so one of the things that come to mind when I was because you don't be sitting ducks, eh? You can be sitting duck there for the enemy. He has been around, he's sharp. Nathan wanted to go to the after party in his prom. And so he asked us. And at that age when they're at prom, where they're kind of just, it's quite challenging to parent then, just to kind of throw it out there. Quite challenging to parent. And he wanted to go to the after party. And so we prayed about it, and we both felt, we actually don't want to. And that was like a red flag to the bull with Nathan. He was so upset with us. Now, I just spoiled my fun. This is the only time I'm going to have a prom, and I'm going to have an after party, and you don't want me to have an after party. And so anyway, we pitch up at the prom, and all his buddies are in the car that he was going to go in. And he jumped out of there, mutter, 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 slammed the door, and we drove off. By the time I got home, 5 miles down the road, the phone rings. This car took off, decided to get into a race with everybody else to this party, lost control. Lee, the driver, got killed. The guy sitting where Nathan was had his face totally removed off his face. And it was just a sad situation. And you've got to understand, if you don't find yourself in that place of prayer, it's powerful that you understand that, because we have this responsibility of custodianship, even as a church, even the body of Christ, even those that you're at work with. You are the right-hand marker. You're the one they're going to take the reference of Jesus off, you and me. And so we have that wonderful privilege and opportunity to do that. So in prayer, God wants His presence. He wants us to the provision taken care of. He wants us to make sure we're free in our hearts with being pardoned, and so He also needs that protection, because it's a war zone out there. And so God wants to lead us and deliver us. And Psalm 119, 133 says, "Direct my steps by Your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Direct me and protect me." That's what that verse is saying. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I tell you, whatever you feed, you heard about the black dog and the white dog. Well, maybe it's a gray dog and a pink dog. I better make sure that I don't get the color thing issue out there in the highways and the byways. But the pink and the grey dog, you know, every time the hunter came back with those dogs, he made them fight, and he'd always bet on the right one that would win. And they said, how come you always bet on the right dog that will win? He says, the one I feed, I know which will win. It's the one you're going to feed. And I'm just saying, whatever you're feeding, if you're feeding the flesh, the carnality of life, guess what's going to win? The carnality, your spirit has no chance. So feed your spirit. Allow good Christian music to feed your soul when you don't have time to listen to the Word of God and hear good preaching and stuff like that. So you need to make sure that you're a good custodian of your life. It's no good like a recovering alcoholic to go and find fellowship in a pub or a bar or a tavern, whatever you guys call it here. Obviously, I don't go there, so I don't know what they're called now. The drinking hole. It's not good that you go in those areas. And the same thing, you know where, and God says, stay away from those areas. And then obviously Jesus' prayer in John 17, 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus was praying, God, I let them loose, but they're not bubble wrapped. They're not bubble wrapped. I'm letting them loose. So we need to increase our prayer. Basically, I'm saying that. I've got one more session at talking to you about Jesus teach us to pray. I hope it enlightens us or quickens us to be more diligent and fervent at in our prayer life. And do not lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Let's make sure we're ready for battle. Amen. Be battle ready. Let's pray. Thanks, Maria. So, Father, I know that when words like us come, we have the light and the illumination of the Holy Spirit just kind of just doing his job, which means that he comes and he convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. So, Holy Spirit, I know that you've been convicting us as we're looking at. I know that we live in America and it's all peace and it's all, but my God, we've got to become more battle ready. We're under attack in so many fronts with beliefs and doctrines and gender and culture and values and principles, and Father, everything is at stake, and we need to be battle ready. And I know that that we kind of can sometimes be relaxed because we live in the Western world, but my God, I'm asking that your Spirit quicken us to sharpen up, to just awaken. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. There's a lot of happening. There's a wrestle. A war in the heavenlies is happening. And it's not against flesh and blood, Lord. It's not that person's political view or that person's gender view. But Father, it is a spirit that we're dealing with. And it's a spirit that would want to seduce us, lure us, bring us into trials and temptations, and to bewitch us and harness our freedom and shackle us from freedom. So, Father, I'm asking that today we would search our hearts, or that you would search our hearts, and that you would adjust our compasses and awaken us and direct us. And Father, that we would earnestly take your lesson of prayer and allow it to lead us on stronger and bolder, my God. So I'm thanking you for that. And Father, there's some that have never responded to your invitation to come and be a son and daughter in your house. And so if you haven't done that in the sound of my voice, whether you're online and that, just understand that there's an invitation that Jesus said, I have paid for your sins, that it's not a sin issue anymore. It's a relationship issue. And if you want to have eternity with God, then the scripture says that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. And so it's because, Jesus, you paid the price, that you paid for our sins and you've made a way. And so if that's you and you want to respond, we as a church pray it out loud, and we want to pray out loud and just encourage you to invite Jesus into your life. So church, would you pray with me? Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on that cross for me. You paid for my sins. Today I come to you. Today I invite you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to be my leader, to be my guide. in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did that, just write on a connect card there, say, hey, I prayed that prayer, Rod, and I would love to get a hold of you and just chat with you.